is a remastered version of Triples and Ecstasy, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Boldly go where no one has gone before. Star Trek Online.
Hello and welcome to episode 120 of Triples and Ecstasy. I'm Midnight Shadow, and with me today are panelists Woody.
G'day everyone.
And Dr. Drecky.
Hello.
Did you have a nice shore leave?
I did.
Excellent. We still have no skipper. He still has tribbles in his computer core. So, with any luck, he'll be back next week. So, you can join us in-game in Star Trek Online in instance... It was 3 at Riser, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, we're at the dance floor if you'd like to come and join us. Now, Star Trek Online... Talking about Riser, we have the new summer event. So that started Thursday just gone, the 5th of June, and will be continuing on until July 17th. Now, Woody, you've been playing at Riser. What are your thoughts on the new content?
Yeah, it's certainly something a little bit different, so I've been quite enjoying it. Yeah, of course, it's still got that grind factor if you want to pick up some of the items and stuff like that, but at least it's enjoyable and that side of things, yeah.
Have you been able to get any of the new swimwear options that are now available?
Not yet. I'm mostly working on trying to get the surfboard.
I went to do the race a couple of times and my surfboard disappeared. So it was just like, what?
Did you pick up the rental?
Yeah. It disappears after a short amount of time.
Yeah, it disappears in 30 minutes, so it's usually good to pick it up just before the race starts.
Yeah, I didn't realise that the first time. So it's just like, I'm sure I'd picked one up. So went to do it, only thing is I'd already joined the race, so as soon as I went to go get one quickly before the countdown finished, it banned me because I'd gone out the racetrack area even though the race hadn't started. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
I guess it's better than your swimsuit disappearing.
Yes, although I'm sure a lot of people would quite like that.
I love your wonderful list here, how many options there are for female captains compared to the very boring ones for the male captains.
Yeah. For male captains, you've got the choice of shorts, partial wetsuit, or a full wetsuit. For female captains, you have one shoulder, a monokini, a bikini, cropped, one piece, string bikini, tech, tie waist, wetsuit, cutout, and holder. So, just a little bit more of a selection for that. So, but, I'm sure they could have added some more options for males. But, then...
Yeah, I would have liked a pair of surf shorts or something like that.
So, I haven't actually got any of the swim yet myself yet. So far I've got enough of the tokens to get one of the basic surfboards, so I don't have to get the rental one, which disappears after half an hour. So,
I'm still looking at it and thinking it'd be good to get the surfboard first before you actually get the jetpack to save the cost of renting one all the time. Because you only have to rent a jetpack once once a day, where the surfboard, you know, do it three times an hour.
Yeah. So I've spent 50, I forgot what you called them now. It's not the pearls, it's the... what's the item called that we're collecting for all the other items that we get?
It's not seashells.
No, it's not seashells.
It's favours.
Favours, that's it. So I've got the basic surfboard. I'm just going to save up to get the, I think it's the 1,500 favours to get the superior one. So that'll be the next one that I get. I haven't quite decided if I'm going to get the Federation version, which is the United Federation of Planets power board, or there's one called Midnight Marauder, which I quite like the colours on that one. So I'm deciding which one of those I'm going to get. Because, the power boards that you've got Standard, Enhanced and Superior, as well as the rental. So
this Ryza area, how much... is there any tie-in to the episodes that were on Ryza? Because if I remember, there were two. The Next Generation one, which everyone knows with Vosh. And then there's an Enterprise episode, I think, that Archer's on Ryza. Is that true? I think he was.
I think Ryza's talked about. I don't think we actually got to see Ryza.
So is there... I noticed the Horgon is in there, obviously, but... Is there any other bits and pieces from at least the most Ryzean episode with Next Generation? Do they try to stick in any Easter eggs or anything in the plot line of the challenges or anything?
Not any more than they did from last year. So everything that was there last year is still there this year. So that includes all the accolades, as well as sort of... the flying event to get your 40 pearls. You've got the dancing. You've got the Hogan collection event. So those ones are all still there. So, I haven't noticed anything else related to the TV show so far. But I've just sort of tried the events out because I've sort of been busy sort of working and doing some other bits and bobs. So, for people, because we're talking about power boards, the standard ones you can get are wooden ones, and they come in yellow, blue, white or green trims. For your enhanced power boards, they come in patterns with black and orange, cream and red, teal and aqua, sky and white. And for your superior ones, you've got creamsicle crush. Wouldn't want to say that fast too many times. Yellow blazer, lavender Hylina, midnight marauder, United Federation of Planets, and Klingon Empire. So, as I said, the ones that I'm aiming for is either the Midnight Marauder or the UFP one. They're the sort of colours that I like.
So there's a Klingon Empire surfboard. Or powerboard. Yeah. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, no, the UFP and the Klingon ones, they're sort of... the UFP one is sort of a grey-bluey one, which has got the Federation symbol at the top. And the Klingon one is sort of, as you'd expect, ready in colour, and has the KDF symbol at the top of that. So,
I was just wondering why they didn't do one for the Romulans. It would be pretty easy to do.
It would be green.
I think it's more to do, they've just done it for each faction, rather than each sort of playable race.
Yeah, because there's one thing I've started to like really notice it would have been good is at least have something that's uniquely Romulan. You know, because we have the ships and stuff like that and all that. But so, like, when it comes to like the STF gear, like the Mako and Honor Guard gear, you don't seem to have anything there for the Romulans either. So, you know, it's sort of like it seems, it just feels like it's just falling short in just certain little areas.
Possibly. I'm not sure. Because the problem is I've not noticed a way that you can actually see which board is which. I know you can walk around and you can see all the different boards, but it's just like I guessed which one I thought was the Midnight Marauder. But I don't know for definite which one it is. The only ones you know for definite which ones they are is the UFP and the KDF ones. So there is a sort of a greeny one, if I remember rightly, there. So I'm not sure which, whether it's an enhanced one or a superior one. But you never know, they may have wanted to do it, but just run out of time. Or, I don't know, maybe they just decided to do one for each faction. But
there's another thing too that I thought of is with the actual surfboard race. It's pretty much the same as the winter event where they just haven't really got this end finishing line fit done. It's sort of like first in, first grab. So you come in first place, but you know, you're slow on the pressing the F key or collecting your first place. The person behind you just comes in, collects it all. So
yeah,
I know there's a that Aaron, I've got told this, I don't, you know, because I don't play Neverwinter, but over in Neverwinter they actually have something sorted over there where it goes by who crosses the line. So I'm just wondering, you know, I don't know if it's just teaming or options or trying to do something different, but it's really wish they'd have that sort of thing over here in Stowe with these sort of races.
Yeah. No, it would be nice if they it could all just be detected who came in at which position. Because, yeah, even with the winter event, it is so annoying. You do come in first, but you just slide past the little flag and or somebody pips you to the post and the next one is a little bit off to the side and the next person behind you gets it. And yeah, it's always a bit of a nightmare, yeah. That one. So, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just going to leave a whole heap of frustrated people in the insto. So, you know, if the technology is there where they can actually set something up a little more better, why aren't they using it? That's my question.
Well, I suppose at the moment the triggers they've got is, well, if you look at the way a trigger works at the foundry, it's a circular area which you say what the radius is. Now you put that into a game, it's then saying, well, who triggers that, and there's the detection of it. So I think in order to do it the way we'd want it to be done, they're going to have to add some sort of extra tech to the game to do it. So it'd be sort of really good if that got added, but yeah, we're not going to see it for this summer event. Never know, it might be a possibility for expansion 2 or for the winter event if they're listening. And
yeah, well, it would be good if they actually had something there for the winter event.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
that's, you know, you've got 6 months, guys. Surely you can get something in by then.
So the thing is since D'Angelo's taken over, they've been working on a lot of systems and sort of quality of life sort of improvements. So you never know, it might be one of the things on sort of Al's drawing board to and sort of just to sort of get added. Don't know. It'd be interesting to find out. So yeah, other things that are new. The floaters that we had before, the little jetpacks, they're all back. But we now have extra colours. So we now have green, orange, pink and yellow. So they now sort of match up with the swimwear that we've got. As we've talked about, there's the power board race, Now, the birds are back, but the eggs, I don't believe, are being given out. I think you can still get them with some favours or lobby. So if you still want to raise some parrots, I believe you still can, although I didn't properly check that out.
Yeah, so you can still get the eggs and plus also the things you need for the monkeys. So you can still get them. You get the eggs through doing the one you go see those little monument things around the place, collect those.
Yeah.
It's a random drop, but you can get them if you spend a couple of times doing it.
Okay, that's cool. But yeah, the main thing that people are sort of going for this time is the new pet, which is the feather monkey pet.
Where did they get that thing?
I have no idea.
That looks strangely similar to the rudimentary 3D creature in the Lost in Space reboot in the 90s, and it has no connection to Star Trek that I can think of, but it looks almost identical to that thing, and I've been looking for a picture for it so I can show you guys.
But, yeah, it looks like it's basically what we've got with the other monkeys. The brain freeze of what they're called now. Mugato. Because we've got two versions, haven't we? We've got the big one, and we've got the sort of smaller orange one, which was sort of given away. I think it was a raptor event, wasn't it? So it looks like the monkey is that with a different skin, basically. So whether or not they just wanted to add something different, so it's not just the birds, but they've just used the same tech. I'm not really sure.
There's a baby Mugato pet that looks less ferocious than giant, something with a giant horn, and looks like a white gorilla.
Yeah, there is a small Mugato which I think got added to the subscription package when you hit so many days. But I think that was the same one that came out with people using Raptor, because I think we got the Mugato with that as well, didn't we? Trying to think now. Seems so long ago now. Probably was a couple of years ago thinking about it. But yeah, we now have a feathered monkey pet, so anyone who does like pets, that's the next thing on there. Things I'm not sure, because I know with the birds we have lots of different types. So Woody, have you had a look to see whether or not we've got different types of feathered monkey pets?
I believe there is pretty much a similar with the birds, with a whole heap of range of different colours and breeds. And so I didn't look at it terribly big, but just doing the quick glimpse type thing, it looks like it's going to be pretty much the same sort of thing.
Okay.
To the birds.
All right, cool. So at least there's going to be some variation. So, the other event that's new this year is Castles in the Sand. What's your thoughts on that one?
It's good, it's fun. It's not the type of thing to get fleet marks with, even during the they do have the bonus time of getting bonus fleet marks for building sandcastles. It's not very much. Even during bonus time, you only get five favours, and during non-bonus time, it's only two. It's fun because you can get accolade for it, and I think there's like seven accolades you can get from it all. So you know, it is fun to do to you know, get the accolades and stuff like that, but don't get go overboard if you're wanting to get favours from it, pretty much.
But it's just a nice little thing to do while you're waiting for the next event to come up, which will get you more favours. Because still the best way that I found to get your favours is to do the dancing, the Horgon collection, and to do the races. So, but it's just a nice little thing. The thing is, once you've completed a sandcastle, then you've got a 15-minute cooldown before you can redo it. So, it's just an extra sort of added thing, I suppose. As I said, I've only done it the once, so I haven't had a time to really sort of play.
Also, with all the events on the scene, it's all been set up to over the hour. So, start of the hour, it's the dance, doing the dancing. Then it goes and does the board race. Then it goes and does Morgan hunt, which is happening right now. Then it goes back to doing a board race. Then it does the sandcastles. Then it goes back to dance. So it's pretty much dance once an hour, the hunt once an hour, the sandcastles once an hour, and the board race happens 3 times an hour. So it does do a it's set out that way.
Yeah, at least with this event, there's a little bit more to do. You're not waiting around as much. So although there's still times there where you're waiting around for a few minutes or so, the wait is less because there's more things to do. But again, it's still repeating the same thing. For people like me who's got a lot of other characters, I need to try and decide how many characters I'm going to sort of do this all on. Now, one of the things that you collect on a daily basis are the pearls, because we've now got the Ryzen luxury cruiser. So last year we had the Corvette. Now, this was the ship that we talked about last week. Now, I've already got, because I'd gained loads of extra pearls last year, because I did it all but a couple of days. So basically, I just kept collecting. So I now, only from doing the event twice so far this year, I've already got 720 pearls. So I've nearly got the yacht already.
Yeah, there's another thing too. I don't think it shows up in. It might have been mentioned, but I haven't seen any of the dev blocks. But people who've started out with a new character and they want to get the Corvette, it's only and you already have a character that's already got the Corvette. The new character can get the Corvette for only 40 pearls, so you don't have to spend a full 40. 1,000 get to 1,000 pearls to get that Corvette, so you can just do it once, then you can go over to the larger boat. Now
I know.
So I find that quite helpful.
Yes, no, I was glad when I sort of heard they were doing that. I think that's going to make a lot of difference to a lot of people, because it's like a lot of these events. I was doing it on quite a few characters the first time. And as time's gone on, I've been doing it on less and less. And then on the winter event, I just did that on my main character. I didn't even bother doing it for any of the other ones, mainly because of time. So now I'm thinking that what I might do is to sort of do that more on the other ones. So sort of use the pearls for other things.
Yeah, it's... Well, per simple words, to get the 1,000 pearls, you got to do this event 25 times. So it is, can be quite time consuming, and also being summer and all that, people are going to be taking holidays, going off with the families, so in for a week. So you have that sort of interruption. Pretty much the same with Christmas. you know, for me, for Christmas, you know, I'm going off to see family and all that for the, you know, couple of days. So, you know, it's, if you want to have the get it, you better make sure you don't have anything planned. So,
yeah.
Holiday-wise.
But no, thing is, it's, this event's going on for 6 weeks. I think it is, because it's the beginning of June to mid-July. Personally, I'd like to see it continued for at least another couple of weeks, because sort of, as you said, there's going to be more people on holidays and things like that. So they really just don't get the chance to sign in. I think maybe extending it by a couple of weeks would really help. Because I know they extended last year's one because the downtime they were having. So, and a lot of people found that extra time so helpful because they just needed the extra sort of few days or week or whatever to just get those last pearls to try and get the Corvette, because they hadn't always been able to get on.
Yeah, as you've seen from the past, it's sort of like the event's so successful, they pretty much extended for another week or two. So we'll just have to wait and see, and see if they're happy with it to have it continue on for the next couple of weeks. But I know this has also started a little bit earlier, so you never know, this might be helpful for some people as well.
Yeah, because last time...
Yeah,
it didn't start till the end of June last year. So it started a month early. So, yeah, I'm wondering if they're sort of testing to see when they get sort of better results for the event.
Yeah, probably you didn't want to have everyone getting all upset. Probably had too many people saying, I haven't finished the event yet. I'm here, I am in Vegas. I can't do anything about it. So probably getting evil when everyone's got, with all the devs that go to Vegas. So. They might have been listening there.
Yeah, very true, because this now finishes before Vegas, because of course that's actually earlier as well this year. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if it sort of gets extended. I think a lot of people will be happy if it does. As I said, last year I spent literally every day in to get my 40 pearls. So when it came to sort of... starting this year, I'd already got sort of several hundreds worth of pearls, so only after a couple of days I've actually got 720, so I'm not too far off actually getting stuff for this year already. And the fact that now for like the Corvette and the Cruiser I'll only need 40 on each of my alts. It means that I technically only have to do 2 days worth on each of my characters. So doing that for sort of like nearly 20 characters will be an awful lot easier now.
Yeah, probably spend more time doing the getting the favours so you get all the costumes and surfboards and all that.
Yeah, well, I think that's maybe one of the other reasons why the pearls... for the ships have been done as well, because it means people have more chance to play all the other content they've spent time making instead of just repeating what they did last year on each of their characters just to get the 40 pearls that they need. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out, but yeah, so far I've been enjoying it. Need to sort out my graphics settings because, yeah, on my old computer, having it on max, I get terrible lag and rubber banding. So I turned it all the way down to minimum, thinking, yeah, that'll be great, a lot less lag, which there was. Except I went to do the race and I couldn't see any of the ramps because they weren't being drawn in until I was literally on top of them. So a lot of the parts of the race course I actually had to stop and wait for it to render. It's just like, yeah, definitely going to have to turn up my graphics settings for the next race. So.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that you've started getting ready for is they're doing a screenshot competition for the summer vacation. So this is running basically all of June. So it was opened on the 1st of June, and it's open until the 30th of June. And what they're doing is they're basically asking you to take shots of your summer vacation on Riser. So, yeah, once you unlock all your sort of suits or summer clothing, then sort of find a nice place on Riser and take a photo. So, they'll probably end up doing what they've done with sort of all the other screenshots where they've won competitions, which is basically put that on the loading screens for in-game.
So, yeah, they pick out a certain amount and put them up.
So, so for first place, you get 1,500 Zen, and your screenshot gets made into an official Stowe wallpaper. Second prize is 1,000 Zen, and third prize is 500 Zen. So, yeah, definitely get some nice stuff from the Sea Store if you're good enough to win those. So basically, all your images have to measure 1280 by 720 for submission, and there's a couple of other sort of rules that sort of go along with it. So things like one entry per forum user. Basically,
yeah, it's pretty much one entry per month. So you put an entry in, give it 12 months, put it in again, or different one.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm not sure if I'll do it. I might do. Depends whether or not I can think of a good screenshot to sort of take, in a way.
You might want to turn your graphics settings up.
Oh yeah, for that shot, I definitely will be. But yeah, my old computer, yeah, it sort of struggles while it's on Riser, especially when running around. So it's like, stop it. But never mind. But I'll get the settings right so I can enjoy it more, and then I'll just turn them back up later on. Now, that's really it for Riser. Woody, can you think of anything we've missed?
Not off the top of my head. Probably the only real thing I've found pretty disturbing, actually, is on the dance floor there was actually a Gorn wearing one of those fluorescent type multicolored swimmers, and it just looked disturbing. I took a shot of it, put it up on Twitter.
Disturbing in what way? That it would never, ever, ever happen. Yeah. This screenshot sums up my entire feeling of this Riser content.
Okay, so it's not actually a day one, is it?
It's
Is that?
It is from Stowe. I just, needs Gene to take that small snapshot of it, just so it doesn't get all the people around it, and just focus on the Gorn and these multicolored swimming trunks.
It could have been worse. He could have been in a onesie or a whatever, a thong.
I got going in the Borat.
Oh, yeah. Swimsuit. That's the option they should add for the male swimsuit. Only for Gorns and Kleons.
Yeah, well, it's pretty understandable why they didn't have that in Stowe, that particular swimsuit. Because I know from one of the former hosts, Alistair, over at the Secret World, they, for just the April Fool's fun, they actually released that particular swimsuit for the guys. And after 2 days, they took it off because people were complaining about it. So,
too so, bad.
So it's very understandable why they didn't put it in the game, but yeah, would like I said earlier, would have been good to actually have some like surf shorts or something like that, more than you know something that goes down to the knee. So yeah, oh well, maybe next year.
Means that people can look a bit more like Tom Paris.
That's true.
Trying to think, with the stuff that we had last year, did we have the Hawaiian shirt?
No.
So,
no,
yeah.
Hawaiian shirts. I don't even see any of the NPCs getting around with Hawaiian shirts.
So that's one thing that could be added.
Oh, we could easily list off a whole heap of things that could be added, but it's, you know, of course it's not up to us to have it added.
Yeah, another request. Hawaiian Hawaiian summer outfits.
Yeah, that'd be good. Anyway, what's next?
Okay, we've got the release notes from Thursday. So, as well as Riser going live on the 5th. Yeah, it was the 5th, wasn't it? No, it was the 4th, sorry, yeah. Getting my dates mixed up. It's been one of those weeks. Okay, so, yeah, we talked about the release notes we found on Tribble last week. So, things that we'd talked about. Sort of Alienware keyboards and mice now glow different colours. Have you heard about this, Dr. Trekkie?
I have not. I don't have a glowing keyboard or a mouse. I'm intrigued, though.
Yeah, Alienware keyboards and mice, because they've got sort of software that can make it glow from LED lights from within them, all different colours. What they now do is if you go into Red Alert, your mouse and keyboard will glow red. And in an idle state, it will return to blue for Federation, orange for KDF, and green for Romulan captains. The only times when that doesn't happen is when you're doing things like map transitioning or when you're in the menus, then I think the glow will just go away. So, here's, I've got a Dell XPS, so that was sort of the gaming laptop that was just down from the Alienware. And that does have all the backlit colours, so I haven't had the chance to try and find out whether or not sort of, that might work for the XPS. It's probably doubtful, but I'm going to have to give it a try because, yeah, that would just be cool. So, yeah, it's sort of a nice big document. They've made a sort of whole heap of changes. They've also fixed the loadout issue where your boffs, doffs and your captain powers keep being removed, which was getting really annoying. One way that I found to fix it myself was to literally just load the loadout again and it put things back. But yeah, to keep having things disappear just was starting to get a bit annoying. They fixed the problem with boffs being trapped in the overflow bag. Now, I haven't experienced that one, but what I have found is if I get a new bridge officer, rather than it going into the candidate roster, it was going straight into my inventory for some strange reason. I'd literally have to manually right-click on the bridge officer from within the inventory and actually tell it to move to the candidate roster. Have either of you two sort of noticed that in the last sort of probably around 4 weeks, I think?
Nope.
For me personally, I haven't had that issue there, but I haven't really been going out and getting boffs lately, so.
Okay, well, I tend to get them quite regularly from doing duty officer missions because I use that as a good way to get fleet marks. Because if you keep doing that, when you get to 110,000 on each of the commendations, that you can hand that in to get 75 fleet marks. Or if you send off someone with their all purple sort of duty officers which have got some of the traits, then you can get sort of 90 for each one, and that's if you don't have a booster going as well. So you can get quite a few marks for doing your DOF missions by handing those in. So, yeah, I've been getting quite a lot of bridge officers, and yeah, each time it just ends up going straight into my inventory. So hopefully that will fix it now. I haven't received one.
I've been very hesitant on actually getting those buff top DOF missions, because mostly because of the cost at the end, because you don't really hang on to them, you find them on the exchange. And especially with the blue DOFs you get, you have to do that with 75 EC, and when time you get to the exchange, probably only cost 5 or 10 EC just to try and sell them. So at the end, it still like comes out as being a bit of a loss. So I usually don't really worry about the DOF missions that get you buff bridge officers. So,
well, not always. It always depends on what quality and what race and what class they are. I've actually found that I've sold a lot of these ones for anywhere between 500,000 and 1.3 million.
Yeah. So, are they purple or blue?
Both blue and purple.
I don't seem to get it very much on the Federation side, but I get it on the Klingon side, and they always seem to be flogging them off on the exchange cheap. The 1500 ones are okay. I'll make a profit out of them, but just not the blue ones.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if that's got more to do with the number of players, and the level of need for those sort of items are a lot less, so they don't tend to sell as well. That's anything I can maybe think could be a reason why.
Possible. It might be a little bit better on the Fed side, but I don't seem to get that particular mission on the Fed side, so.
Yeah.
Oh well.
We've had, as we've sort of previously talked about, all the Starfleet personnel from Memory Alpha, Deep Space K7 and Starbase 39 Sierra have all got their updated Starfleet uniforms, which we had Thomas the Cryptic Cat tell us about when he came on for the interview a few weeks ago. So that's three more locations that are getting their new uniforms. They've also added, because a lot of, especially the big fleets, are either at or getting to having top tier for all of the fleet holdings now, they've added a new project for the Starbase. Now, what that requires for contributions is 2,000 fleet marks. So that way people can still continue to get fleet credit. Only problem is with this project that it only awards half of the normal amount of fleet credit. So,
yeah, people are not going to be happy with that.
Well, the thing is it's a one way to sort of, it's a sink for people to put their sort of like marks in to get credit. Now,
so just to make sure I get an understanding here for everyone, I know that one fleet mark gives you 50 fleet credit, so it's sort of like one fleet mark will only give you 25 fleet credit.
That's correct. Yeah. Okay. So, thing is, I did wonder why they did that. Wouldn't it have just been easier to say your contribution is 4,000 fleet marks? Now, on to reputation system. They've added the Tier 5 mission for the 8472 counter command rep system. So you now get your rewards of dilithium, experience, energy credits, and Undine marks. So I know some people have already maxed it out, so they should be rewarded that project as soon as they log in next. Now, I don't actually complete that. I think I've got 2 hours more to do, because I only need something like 400 more. So I should get awarded my one straight away, if it's all working. How are you two doing with your rep systems?
Well, I'm just less than 5 hours away. I'm here on my Klingon from getting tier 4, so it's I'm not exactly pushing it.
Yeah, you guys are in a different league from me. That's much more serious than my commitment.
Yeah, I would have probably done it a few days ago, but same sort of with work and sort of not feeling well. There's been a few times that I just haven't signed in at all. So yeah, that's meant I would have usually sort of got this done by now. But yeah, there's no huge rush for it at all. And it, the way they've got it now, it hasn't been so much of a grind that it has been in the past. It's been nice to be able to casually play and to be able to get the rewards you need for at least a day, maybe two, in one go. So, I found that extremely sort of helpful. Now, next up for the release notes is actually some Foundry updates. Woody, did you want to introduce what's going on there?
Yep, it's pretty much what we said in the Tribal release notes last weekend, where all the props from the new EST are now available, and there's some extra bits here of basic four plans or planes, and water planes with Fed, KDF, Romulan textures added in Siege. In sizes of 10-foot square, 20-foot square, 40-foot square, 100-foot square, and 500-foot square. Yes, I haven't had a good look at these sort of things here. I'm too busy getting sunburned on Riser at the moment. So it sounds like a good thing for Foundry authors to eventually use in their Foundry missions in due time.
Yeah. So, hopefully they'll keep adding more and more things to it as time goes on. Because I know they've said they are not doing any big updates to the system. So, yeah, with any luck, they'll continue to make the smaller ones, really. So, I suppose by doing that, it's also less chance for things to break. So it might be a little bit more helpful as well. But who knows?
Yep. Actually, it's one thing I've actually noticed. I haven't seen it in the release notes, but it's one thing that was a little bit annoying where you change tribbles to Pat. It has like a 15-second cooldown. Now it's actually got a 6-second cooldown, so I'm finding that quite handy.
Yeah. Now,
because, like for me personally, with having all the test weekend tribbles and all that, so you get your the lithium fleet in various marks, I'll usually have them all together and just pat them all once an hour, and so now you don't have a 15-second wait in between them all. So I'm finding very happy about that.
Yeah, I haven't used any of my tribbles so far, so...
How many tribbles do you have to pet, Woody?
Once an hour, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, because we've got Fleet Mark, we've got Omega Mark, got the Romulan Mark, we've got the Dilithium one.
I'm feeling inadequate with my two tribbles.
So yeah, there's a couple of special ones that you got from doing like the test weekends. Although the last couple of releases, they haven't done test weekends, so there've been no new sort of special tribbles to give out.
Yeah, well, season 9 launch, you never had really any test weekend, and season 8.5 didn't really have a test weekend either, because the accountant pretty much says, you guys ain't making any money doing these test weekends, so they stopped doing it. So,
I can understand it.
I know the season 8 or 8.5 actually relieves limited time Tribble that gave you Nakura marks. But
yeah, they just gave it away to everyone, didn't they?
Yeah, I haven't heard if they're going to be doing any special release Tribbles for the Undyne marks at all, so...
It's very unlikely.
I'm not going to keep my hopes up that there is going to be one.
No, if they're going to release it, they would have actually released it for Series 9.
Yeah, I know for... Well, it did take quite a few weeks after the last season launched for the Nakura mark Tribble to be released, and it was like that for all the other test Tribbles. So, you know, I'm not really expecting it for at least another couple of weeks if we get an answer or not, but I'm not really expecting an answer for this season, so.
Yeah. Now, moving away to Star Trek news. There's nothing new that I found for Star Trek Las Vegas, which is July 31st to August 3rd. But we now have information released for Destination Star Trek London, which is in October of this year. So that's the 3rd to the 5th. They've now released not only tickets that are available to purchase, but they've also released their guest list. Now, the guests that they already have confirmed are William Shatner, Leonard Nimoy, although he's only doing that via video feed talk, so he won't actually be there in person, but given all his health problems, I really wouldn't expect anything else personally. We've got Jeri Ryan, Bruce Greenwood, Carl Urban, Nichelle Nichols, Jonathan Frakes, Brent Spiner, Michael Dorn, Levar Burton, Marina Sirtis, Gates McFadden, John DeLancey, Denise Crosby, Alice Cridge, Tim Russ, James Darren, Alexander Sindig, Ethan Phillips, Mark, can never say his name, Grodinchik, is it? Did I say that right?
Yeah,
Grodinchik, yeah.
Yeah, it just sounds like I've said it wrong each time. But yeah, he's the guy that played Rom. You've got Aaron Eisenberg. You've got Casey Biggs. You've got Susie Plaxen. You've got Hallie Todd. You've got Vaughn Armstrong. Hannah Haiti. Eric Minnick. Again, not sure on how you say his last name, but he's the guy that played the Traveller. In TNG, you've got Steve Rankin, Nicholas Meyer, he's one of the director writers. You've got science consultant Andre Boromanis. You've got visual effects Ronald B. Moore. You've got author editor Larry Nemechek, and you've got Brian Fuller, who's one of the writers. So that's the lineup so far. So, quite a big list to start off with, which is really nice, especially as I'm actually intending on going. So.
How many of those people have you seen already, Midnight Show?
I've only been to one convention before now, and that was the first one 2 years ago. Which was again in London, but I only saw the talks for a few people. I mainly went there to meet people I knew in the Star Trek Online community. So basically just to meet up with friends and an enjoyable day out, because I only went for the one day. So a lot of the people that I saw doing their talks aren't on the list, but I never actually met any of them in person or did any of the photo shoots. Because to me, I don't really have any interest in any of that, to be honest. So I'm not...
just kidding. Yeah, I mean, revelations. It's gotten really so commercial. I mean, I went to a lot of conventions in the early 90s and even in the 80s, and it was it felt just a little less commercial to me. I mean, of course it was commercial, but it still was I felt it was a lot of very fan focused. But boy, they charge a lot for photos and signatures these days. And it's usually separate. Some of the lesser known stars will usually not have a fee, but definitely the main top billed ones do. At least yeah. I think they do.
Yeah. For an individual guest photo shoot, tickets are between £15 and £50. So that's like $25 to $100. Depending on who yeah. it is.
Well, there's so many interesting people on this list. I've seen a handful of them. And I mean, once you start, like some people in particular, like Marina Sirtis, she does so many conventions and she's got great stories, but once you've seen her three or four times, you've heard the stories. Michelle Nichols is always good. Jonathan Frakes is great. And he has a lot of stuff to talk to because he's still, you know, very active as a director and a lot of things to say. And it would be really cool to hear from LeVar Burton with all the activity and excitement that going on with Reading Rainbow and things like that. So it's a great list. I don't know how they're going to shove all these people in one program, but it'll be interesting. I would love to hear Nicholas Meyer talk more. He had a book recently, a few years ago, I read another one. I know he's written a couple about both Star Trek 2 and 6, which he directed. And then he also was a writer on another one, which I think was 4. So yeah, it's a great list. I wish I could go.
So, but yeah, I intend to go for all 3 days. So the cost of the basic tickets are for the 1 day, it is basically £29. For the 2 day ticket, it's £39. And for the 3 day ticket, it's £49. So that's around $55, I think it works out for the 1 day. Then about sort of $70 for 2 days. And about, I don't know, sort of, what, $90, I think, for 3 days.
Yeah, it's pretty good. That's a decent price.
So that sort of gets you entrance in, but none of the sort of photo shoots or anything else like that. So at the moment, I haven't got my tickets just yet because I'm trying to see if I can get a press pass so I can talk to people. But yeah, I haven't properly heard back yet. So, yeah, fingers crossed. I'll see how that goes. So, yeah, I'm really chuffed with the list they have so far. Although, at the moment, we haven't got much in the way of captains, but hopefully more will confirm sort of in the next couple of months. Because I know last year they managed to get all 5 of them to London.
Yeah, I could go on. Something I remember from reading the Las Vegas website last year with getting photos and done. I remember that, you know, most of the actors who were going to be doing photos, usually the average cost was like $60.
Yep.
And I think the most expensive one was William Shatner at $100. So there was, you know, a couple in between. But mostly everyone was doing it for $60, you know. Just because my goal for when I do Las Vegas in 2 years' time is actually try and get a photo done with all the actors who did the engineers. So O'Brien, LaForge, yeah, and whoever else is left there. Try and get a photo with them. So you know.
But like, do you have like a Jimmy Doon? Do you have a Jimmy Doon photo, Woody?
No.
To add to that, I have one, but it's I'm a very gangly and zit filled teenager. That was a long time ago. He was also really awesome at conventions. And there was a time where none of them would have upcharges for photos, and you would just wait in line.
Yeah, I know of someone who's actually got a photo outside of conventions of James Dorn, Cassiopeia. She doesn't play Stowe anymore, but she's actually got a photo of him, her with Jimmy Dorn. One was sitting together as like a selfie, and one together, sitting down having a chat. And actually, she was actually quite surprised. Actually, he didn't really get into talking about his acting and stuff like that. He really wanted to talk about his ranch he had over at Colorado. So, but he was a very nice. Apparently, he was a very nice fellow to talk to. So,
well, I bet his son will be in Vegas. The guy that's working on Star Trek Continues. Yeah. So that would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know Star Trek Continues is doing something outside of Rio as well. So outside.
Yeah, the hotel.
Creation, yeah, outside the hotel. So, yeah, that'll be good for this year.
Yeah, so, if we find out any more news for either Star Trek Las Vegas or Destination Star Trek London, we'll let you know in future episodes. Now, Woody, to finish off, you've done a spotlight on the Foundry. Did you want to tell us a bit about that?
Indeed, I have. The review system is now back up and running, so I have got a new Foundry mission to talk about. This mission is called Worlds Apart. Sorry about the noise. And the mission author is Lieutenant Barber. Now, just a basic outline of the story. It's another one of those missions where you go back in time. You might find it a little bit boring there, but because great, another time travel mission. It's very very well put together. So look at my notes here. The story, the way that he designed it, he mostly designed it around what Foundry assets he has. So you do have to contend with ground battles, contend with the TOS style Klingons without the ridges and the shoulder pads and whatnot. So he's done it very well with that particular story. There is puzzles with this in the dialogue with this particular mission. At the start of it, he did use some with one of the puzzles, answer the question type thing. He used two Star Trek lines and used two Star Wars lines, and don't know if he meant to do that deliberately or what, but I find it was okay because he sort of like mentioned afterwards about getting rid of this particular satellite. So I find it okay. The only real bad thing I found with this particular mission was changing of maps. He never really give very much in the way of like plain simple things of like putting a green circle of where to go to make the map change happen. You have to read it, and also it didn't really help very much that he didn't leave a change color like green writing to say, all right, go to the to the turbo left door to move to the next map type of thing. That's about the only real fault I have with this particular mission. spelling and grammar is, I didn't really see very much in the way of bad spelling and grammar with this. So, yeah, it's definitely worth a go. You know, it's got a little bit of space and ground battle, and like I mentioned, there's puzzles in it. So, he has done quite a good job there. So, definitely recommend on playing this mission. The mission again is called Worlds Apart by Lieutenant Barber.
Right, well, unless you guys have got anything else, I think that's us for the week.
Let's end this so I can go off and start dancing again.
Okay, well, thank you everybody for joining us, and we'll catch you same time, same place next week. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to tonight's broadcast of Triples in Ecstasy, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and be sure to check holosuitemedia.com and iTunes for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Triples in XTC. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to thetriplesinecstasy@gmail.com. The only place where Tribbles and Klingons are friends.
Boldly go where no one has gone before. Star Trek Online.